The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing and tending the sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on table while I eat and drink? You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what he was commanded to do? So should it be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded to do, say, 'We are merely unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Let me look at this gospel reading for a few moments of homiletic reflection. It comes from the 17th chapter in the Gospel of Luke. Now, we've been reading a sequence in Luke for the last number of weeks, and it began back there in chapter 9. And it's interesting to look at this. Some of you know the land. When you know the land, the geography of the land of Jesus, it will help to grasp a deeper understanding of the meaning. Way back there in chapter 9, Jesus is living up in Galilee, which is 65 miles north of Jerusalem. Let's say we're Jerusalem and this is the temple. So Jesus is up in Camarillo, up around there. And chapter 9 says he resolutely decides he will go to Jerusalem. So now he is journeying down here to get to South Pasadena, to Jerusalem. And on his way, he teaches many teachings. In chapter 10, the next chapter, he arrives on the outskirts of Jerusalem. He arrives in Pasadena. Pasadena is Bethany. That's where Martha and Mary live, the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So he has this encounter. Remember, "Martha, Martha, why are you concerned about many things? One thing only, and Mary has chosen the better part." That's in chapter 10 in Luke. So now he's very near Jerusalem. He's right there. But curiously enough, why he has many teachings in here, we'll get the lost sheep, the prodigal son, the rich man and Lazarus, last Sunday's gospel. You'll get, the Pharisee and the tax collector. All these teachings will come in here now, after Martha and Mary. And then, here's the interesting thing. In chapter 19, Jesus has left the area instead of coming into Jerusalem, and he's gone back out there somewhere around San Fernando, which is where Jericho is. Now, that's only 15 miles, but it's very important because Jericho is 800 feet below sea level, and Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level. So that to make the journey down to Jericho, not bad. But coming from Jericho up to Jerusalem in 15 miles, you climb over 3,000 feet. But so the journey, the travel log that Luke gives us is not meant to be accurate geographically. He's teaching us theology. Luke is never that good at geography. If you look at the Gospel of Luke, you'll find that it's not accurate geographically. But it's a theology he wants to teach us about this journey and the various parables. And then we get to today's Gospel. Remember when he was down there in San Fernando, he met Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Remember the small fellow that had climbed a tree to see Jesus, and he goes through a conversion. That's in San Fernando. That's in Jericho. So now Jesus is up. He's teaching now. He's entering Jerusalem now in chapter 19. We're in chapter 17. He's on his way. And his apostles say to him, increase our faith. Now, that's something we all have said at some time. God, increase my faith. He says, if you have faith even the size of a mustard seed, small, you would say to the sycamore tree or mulberry tree, either one, be uprooted and we'll plant you in the sea. That's a curious kind of a thing to say. How do you plant a tree in the sea? If you read Matthew's Gospel, it says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be uprooted and go into the sea. Makes more sense than that translation. So there may be a kind of an oversight or some variation of the remembering the word here as it appears in the Gospel of Luke. It's a Semitic hyperbole. It's an exaggeration to make a point. And what Jesus is saying, if you had faith even the size of a mustard seed, you could do things beyond what this world can do. You could do extraordinary things if you had faith even the size of a mustard seed. Now, Raymond Brown, the scripture scholar, speculates this way. He said he believes that if you ask most people what it means to be a Christian, how do you identify a Christian? They say, well, they do good works, and they forgive people, and they help people. That's a Christian. But that's not biblical. The Christian in the life of Jesus and in biblical theology is one that says, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Until you can say that, you don't have faith the size of a mustard seed. And that's what his disciples could not say. And therefore, to face Jerusalem, which is symbolic of their destiny, they cannot handle their destiny. They cannot handle the various experiences of life. Because of their lack of faith. Jesus is Lord. That's the faith. Increase our faith. Make us more conscious of the fact that Jesus is Lord and Savior. I am in the hands of God, and the tapestry of my life is shaped mysteriously by divine providence. That's how we define the Christian, says Raymond Brown. What does this mean to us? Well, I was on retreat last week. I went away for most of the week on retreat, so I missed last Sunday. And you know, the language of the soul, a deeper sense of who we are, comes to us only in silence. In periods of silence, that's when we begin to look deep inside ourselves. Because life is full of distractions. You've got so many things on. To face the truth of who you are, to look deep inside of yourself now and not be caught and consoled by distractions. Success. You never grow in success. Success feeds your ego. You kind of feel important and I'm successful and I'm a Monsignor and I'm this and I'm popular. That's all ego stuff. That's all superficial stuff. If you want to meet the real person, you have to go into silence. And you have to understand the language of the soul, something much deeper. Well, I attempted to do that last week. There I went on retreat to listen to the tapestry of my life. Now I look back over my life. And of course, part of this is being an elder. I'm in the last quarter of my life, and when I'm in the last quarter of your life, you tend to be a little bit more introspective. I mean, you're not trying to climb and conquer and achieve and look for votes. I tell my assistant over there, sometimes she says, well, if you do that, somebody won't like it. And I've said, look, at this point in my life, I'm not looking for votes. So it's okay. Somebody doesn't like it. That's okay. We'll get along. Look deep inside of yourself. Now I kind of look at my life and I see a tapestry of divine providence. I have no doubt that the weaving of my life all was done in a mysterious plan of divine providence. And I understand that much more when I look at my weakness, my sins, my failure. This is the time when I become conscious of God's grace and God's goodness and God watching over me. Not when I'm successful. When I'm successful, I kind of think it's me. When you fail and life goes against you, you want to face Jerusalem, you say, increase my faith. Now, faith is not the prayer that USC will win or something like that. Faith has to do with the manner in which you understand and somehow integrate the experiences of life into a tapestry of understanding which is rooted in faith. Something much deeper. Wherever you are in your life, stand back sometime. Enter into a place of silence. Take a second look at your life and see how God moves in your life, how God is present in your life. And in a moment of darkness, become more conscious that Jesus is Lord, watching over you. You know, my parents were faithful people, and no matter what happened, in the darkest of times, in the most difficult of times, sickness, death, whatever went wrong, the mantra was, it's the holy will of God. We'll respond to the holy will of God. That's it. No big distress, no discouragement. It was the will of God. That's my faith. I want you to think about that in your own life. Wherever you find yourself in your life, feel the movement of God. That's the great act of faith. And since the followers of Jesus, his closest followers, did not say Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior, doesn't matter about suffering, rejection, the pain, the struggles of life, Jesus will rise above this, conquer the world, and I walk in the presence of the Lord of life. That's what it means to increase our faith. In the neighborhood in which I grew up, we had a Shanachie. Now, that's a Gaelic word. It means a storyteller. And this was a little old lady on a wheelchair, Minnie Prendergast. We didn't have TV in those days, so on winter evenings we'd all sit around and Minnie would tell us stories. Stories didn't have to be true, they were stories. We got engaged, we were attracted. Don't climb over that wall at the end of the street, it's haunted by a nun. Oh, Jesus. Well, we didn't climb over the wall. But stories, just stories, draw you in. Stories somehow touch something deeper inside of you. imagination. Well, Minnie was like that. She was a storyteller. She was a Shanaki. And here was her life mantra. A woman of great faith. She said, I am in a place in my life where no man can harm me and only God can save me. And so, on her wheelchair, telling stories, she found meaning and fulfillment in her life. The call of the Word of God is that we stop somewhere, we sit, take a second look inside of ourselves, take a look at the tapestry of life and say, God is great, Jesus is Lord, my Savior, and life is worth living. Amen.